Okay, good evening. Well, this is another story for William, and Lauren can listen in, and hello, Kira, and even Steve. Hey, this is a story about Squeaky Squeaky Toy Robot, and this is Chapter 2, Squeaky Toy Robot Meets the Toy Store Witch. Now, if you've been following, you know that Squeaky Toy Robot was really a robot made by Mr. Ningyoshi-san, and he is the Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, the only robot of its type in the whole world. But he was given to 3T's dad, and 3T, of course, is Timothy Thomas Tobias Talltail, and his dad is Dr. Timothy Tyler Taylor Talltail, who is a PhD and very, very smart. And he was given the Ningyo robot by Mr. Ningyoshi-san because he wanted to have him escape from the clutches of people who wanted to reverse engineer him. So he came to America. And the last story was 3T was opening the gift from Mr. Ningyoshi-san and his father. And he named the toy robot Squeaky because when his package dropped, the Squeaky toy robot picked up a little crimp in one of his hydraulic knees and it squeaked, 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 squeaked. There was a way to oil it, but it was very tricky because he was a sealed component. At any rate, the last end of the story, 3T, or, as you know, Timothy Thomas Tobias Talltail, who his father calls Timmy Tommy Toby and he hates it, 3T had gone to bed. And he put Squeaky Toy Robot on the shelf with his other toys, with all of his soldiers and his Ninja Turtles and his Ninja Squirrels and his Lego blocks and everything. And as soon as 3T fell asleep, all the toys started asking Squeaky Toy Robot, "Where did you come from?" Well, Squeaky Toy, as you remember, had his voice switched off, so he couldn't talk. He couldn't tell them where he came from. He just wrinkled his eyebrows and blinked his eyes and smiled. He had little Lego men crawl all over him, feeling every single bit they could feel and pinch his nose. And he had little dolls come up, his sister's dolls, of course, little dolls come up and rub their furry little hands against his furry little toes. They were giggling. And then the ninja squirrels were like, me tough. Then 3T had a couple of Transformers. They were pretty big Transformers, like a foot high. And they put on a whole Transformer stunt showing Squeaky Toy Robot how tough they were. Look at us. And after they transformed, you know what they did? They went over and beat up a couple of the Ninja Turtles just to show how tough they were. Ninja Turtles didn't like that, but they couldn't get into a big fight because that would wake up 3T. So they spent the night like that trying to show off for Squeaky Toy Robot. Then they all fell asleep and everything got quiet. Except for Squeaky. Well, Squeaky didn't have to go to sleep. As long as he was wound up, he was fine. So he listened. And then he found 3T's little video player. And he said, oh, I wonder what this is. I wonder if this is an educational device. And he turned on the little video player and started playing games. Played this one, played that one, scored high score on all the others, got kind of bored, put it down. He waited. It was dark. It was quiet. Then he heard someone get up. It was 3T's mother. Then he smelled some coffee in the kitchen. Then he smelled some bangs banging around and some people moving. And then he heard his 3T's mother say, Timmy, Tommy, Toby! Timmy, Tommy, Toby, better get up! And by the way, when you get up, tell your father to get down here! Well, 3T woke up at that. He went, huh? Huh? And he looked at the clock. It was 8:15 in the morning. He had to be out on the door at 9 because he was going to meet his two good friends to get out of the park. That was Curtis Cuttlefish and Kwame Macaulay. But he was going to meet them, so he had to be out the door. He always liked to be on time. So he got up and he looked around. It was 8:15. And he said, wow, it'd only take me an hour to wash and eat and everything to get out the door. I have 15 minutes. I can play some computer games. So he picked up his computer video game and turned it on. And he looked at the high scores and thought, oh, wow, I must have done pretty well last night. And he started to play. Well, Squeaky Toy wasn't going to sit around while little 3T played video games, so he wandered out. Well, he was still dressed in his coveralls and his little shoes, and he looked neat and clean as a pin, looked like he didn't have a wrinkle on him, and he walked down the hall into the kitchen. Well, there he met 3T's mother. Now, he'd seen his mother before, and he'd sort of gone by her, but she hadn't really figured out big last night until he washed the dishes, and then she was so amazed she sat down and almost started to cry, and then when he cleaned up all the toys in 3T's room, she was jumping for joy. But at any rate, he now met 3T's mom. Now, 3T's mom was a noble person in her own right. This was Dr. Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale. And Dr. Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale was a neurophysicist, but we'll talk about that later. And she worked at the same university as Dr. Talltale, Dr. Timothy Tyler Taylor Talltale. They worked together, but they didn't know who was smarter. They were both pretty smart. So she was there fiddling with the toaster. Well, the toaster was this Russian AI, artificial intelligence thing, and she was trying to get it to toast bagels. And she was talking to it, saying, "Toaster, toast my bagels." And the toaster kept flashing a sign to her in Cyrillic. Well, Cyrillic, of course, is Russian, as you know. And it kept flashing the sign in Cyrillic. And she read it, and she said, "I know that sign. It says reset. I don't want a reset. I want you to do what I'm telling you. Tell me to talk to me." Well, the Ningyo robot looked at this, and he saw 3T's mom getting really kind of upset. And he walked up to her, and he winked his eyebrows. He lifted his eyebrows, winked his eyes, and he put his hands out as if to say, "Can I help?" Well, Dr. O'Toole Talltale looked at him and said, "I can't believe it. I got a toy trying to help me." Well, she couldn't work this AI. It was being really obstinate, being kind of obnoxious. It was then running a whole string of Russian characters in front that basically said, "Hey, I got to be reprogrammed to do this in English. Why don't you do this for me, you nimwit?" But she couldn't read that much Russian, and so she didn't read it. Otherwise, she'd be very upset at that AI. So Squeaky looked at the AI, said, "Hmm." She looked at him and she said, "If you can do something with this piece of junk, go for it." So Squeaky walked up to the toaster. He looked at the toaster. He looked around the back. He looked at the serial number. He looked at the brand, and he closed his eyes for a minute. Well, Dr. O'Toole Talltale thought he was thinking, but he really wasn't. He was going through his database of artificial intelligence manuals, because Mr. Ningyoshi-san had packed his 100 terabytes of memory with every single manual he could think of in case it would help. So he ran down all the AI, especially the Russian toasters, and he found just the toaster that he was looking for. And he looked up the specs, he looked up the requirements, and he found how to reprogram it to take commands in English. He thought, "Now I know this Russian toaster is Russian after all, but we can fix it to do English." So he walked to the toaster, and he put his hands on it. The toaster felt his hands and went, oh, what's this? But that was inside. That was AI talk. You couldn't hear that. And then he punched some buttons. He punched some other buttons. He punched three buttons in a row. Boop, boop, boop. He punched two buttons at once. Boop, boop. And then he turned it off. Well, 3T's mom looked at him and said, "Yeah, right. You had to turn it off too. Ha ha." Squeaky looked at her. He turned it on again. Boop. Up came the display. And you know what was in the display? English! And a little voice came out of the AI toaster and said, "Good morning, Dr. O'Toole Talltale. How would you like your bagels cooked today?" 3T's mom looked at Squeaky and said, "What are you? You're more than a toy." Well, Squeaky couldn't say anything, so he just winked. And then she stood around and said, "Timmy, Tommy, Toby, get down here for your breakfast. The bagels are cooking. And bring your father." So he did. Well, Squeaky jumped at that one. But he stood by the side, and Timmy, Tommy, Toby came down, took his chair, had his bagels. And meanwhile, his mother decided to cook some scrambled eggs. So Squeaky was really, really interested in this. He'd never seen anybody cook scrambled eggs. Now, let me tell you, Squeaky, or Ningyo Robot, has been programmed to cook everything, from sushi to chili dogs. So he knew how to cook everything, but he had never seen anybody cook. After all, he's only been out of the box for a week, right? And the first time was at the big conference where Mr. Ningyoshi-san showed him around, and now he's in America. It could be quite confusing for a little robot if he wasn't quite so bright. But he stood there watching Dr. O'Toole Talltale. And 3T's mom said, "Here's, what are you looking at?" He just winked his eye. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I've got the eggs, I got the milk, a little bit of milk, I got a little bit of salt and pepper. I always like to put some cayenne pepper in. And then look, I'll put a little turmeric in because that's really good for the digestive system. And then a little garlic powder because everybody needs garlic." And she whipped them up and she poured them on and she scrambled them up and she put them on the plates with the bagels. And down came Dr. Talltale, rumpled in his pajamas, looking kind of sleepy, because, of course, he had just come home from Japan, and he was kind of jet-lagged. And then 3T came down, and he was in his pajamas, and he was looking kind of sloppy, too. And they both went down, and they both started slurping up their eggs. Dr. Talltale went and put ketchup all over his eggs. Well, 3T's mom looked really perturbed, because, after all, they weren't the best eggs in the world, but she just made them, and they were hot, and the two boys could at least say thank you. But no, they did. Dr. Talltale drank his coffee. He said, I got to get to the lab. And he disappeared. 3T's mom looked at 3T and said, you have to go meet your friends. You go upstairs, take a shower, put your clothes on. I'll do the dishes. Well, before she could turn around and do the dishes, Squeaky Toy Robot had already picked up the bowls, picked up the plates, picked up the spoons, picked up the mug, picked up the glasses, put them in the sink, and he was starting to wash them. She looked around and said, what? 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 He not only was washing them, he was drying them. And after he dried them, he put them away. It didn't take him more than 4.27 minutes, and he was done. The dishes were away, the mugs were away, the glasses were away. And he brought a mug over to the table, and he crooked his finger at 3T's mother, pointed to the chair. She sat down and looked at him, and you know what he did? He poured her a cup of coffee from the thermos. And then he stood there and grinned. Oh, well. If you want to have a mom fall in love with you, you do the right things, and there it is. So they were standing there waiting for 3T to come down, and 3T came bundling down the stairs, rolling down. He's just putting his sneakers on, combing his hair. Said, okay, Mom, I got to go. Bye. Squeaky looked at him and raised his hands up. And 3T looked at him and said, what? What? And Squeaky pointed to his tummy. What? What? Pointed to his tummy again and started rotating his hand. 3T said, I wish you could talk. He walked over and he pulled back, he pulled down the coveralls, and there was the little wind-up. Well, he realized that he better wind up Squeaky, because that's how Squeaky got his energy. So he cranked the crank, and he cranked all he could until it was full, and then he couldn't crank anymore. And then the little crank went into a little box inside a Squeaky toy, and it looked like he was all smooth again. And he pulled up his coveralls, and he winked, and he smiled, and he wrinkled his eyebrows. And 3T said, Mom, can I take my toy with me? I want to show my friends. Well, I don't know, 3T. That looks like a pretty expensive toy. It could get hurt. You know, you could break it. You could fall out of your bike. You could, oh, Mom, I'll put it in my basket. I've got a basket in the front of my bike. I'll just put it in the basket, and he'll can ride and have a good time. He'll be okay. Well, I don't know. Well, Squeaky Toy, by the way, is sitting there shaking his head. Yeah. So it ended up 3T took Squeaky Toy and put him in the basket in the front of his bike, because he had a little basket, and he pedaled off to see his two friends. Well, one friend lived right next door, and that was Curtis Cuttlefish. Now, Curtis had been born about 2 weeks after 3T, and they lived next door to each other. So guess what? They grew up together. They knew each other from their very first one-month birthday party to their first year birthday party to their second to their They had just finished their 10th birthday party together. They had balloons. They had cakes. They had fun. They were the best friends. Now, Curtis Cuttlefish's father was not a PhD. It was okay with Curtis's friends, but you know how PhDs are. He was a master's in engineering, but you know what? He was very important, was Curtis's dad, Solomon Cuttlefish. You know why? Because he repaired robots. And in the end, he's the one who rescued Squeaky Toy Robot. But that's later on. Then he pedaled down the road, and they pedaled to their other friend, Kwame Macaulay. Now, Kwame was from Africa. And his father was from Uganda. His mother was from Ghana. And his father was a neurophysiologist scientist. And he was so smart. He knew all about biological electronic receptors and piezoelectronic integrators. And he was so smart, he'd come to join Dr. Talltale's team. And Kwame was 11. He was a little bit bigger, a little bit bolder, a little bit this and that. But he was a great kid. And he was well out of fun to be around. And they were going to take off that day and go to the park and have a great day at the park. Kwame had his basketball in the back of his bike, and they were going to play basketball and then have lunch and then come home. And 3T was so happy. So he showed up, and there was Squeaky Toy in his basket. And Curtis looked at him and said, What's that? Is that like a G.I. Joe or something? That's kind of a big doll. And Kwame laughed and said, "That's a very big doll. That is very funny. Ho, 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 ho." And then he said something in Swahili that, of course, 3T didn't understand, because 3T didn't understand Swahili. But Kwame knew Swahili. As a matter of fact, when he and his dad wanted to talk and have nobody understand, they would talk in Swahili. It drove 3T nuts, but what can you do? On the other hand, Squeaky Toy, he knew just what Kwame had said, because after all, he understood Swahili, and he could have answered him back, but his voice was switched off. But what Kwame had said was, "Huh, I can't believe a 10-year-old American boy is driving around with a little toy doll." Well, Squeaky wasn't very happy about that comment, but he couldn't blame Kwame, because after all, Kwame didn't know. So they all three took off. Well, they were pedaling along and racing, and 3T realized that driving along with Squeaky Toy in the front was not as easy as he had thought, because Squeaky Toy had some weight to him. It wasn't like he was an empty light thing. He had some weight. He was kind of had a lot of metal components, and, you know, and so 3T stopped and said, "This is really tiring. Anybody else want to carry this little robot?" And then Kwame said, "Well, why don't we see what he can do? Can he walk?" "Well, yeah." And then Curtis said, "Well, he can walk. He can walk beside us." "Well, what if we go too fast?" "Well, he can catch up with us. After all, he's supposed to be good. Does he have GPS? We can do a locator." So they put Squeaky Toy on the ground. And they said, "Let's see how we can walk." So Squeaky Toy walked along. I said, "Oh, he walks pretty good. I guess we can go. But if we leave him behind, too bad." And then Curtis and Kwame took off. Well, 3T didn't like that, because he was left all alone with this little robot. So he said, "Squeaky Toy, catch up, because I got to catch my friends." And he took off. Well, that left Squeaky Toy on the side of the street. He was on the sidewalk. He saw these boys bicycling off. And he thought, "Well, I don't like this. I think I'll just catch up to them." And so he took off. Well, William, you have to know, Squeaky Toy was made to run very fast. Now, fast is fast for some people, but Squeaky Toy is fast. And he ran. And he only ran so fast, he passed those three boys, and he ran up to the corner in front of them, and he turned around and waited. They piled up to him and said, "What? How did you get here? How did that toy get here? He came by so fast. Ah, let's leave him behind." And they took off again. So Squeaky Toy said, "Ha, ha, 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 I'm going to beat them again." So he went down a street and went up a block so they couldn't see him, and he ran like the wind. Whew, and he ran up, and he came out another street ahead of the boys, and instead of standing there, you know what he did? Oh, my goodness. He got silly. He got kind of like full of himself. He said, "Oh, boy," and he started jumping up and down and waving like, "Ha, ha, 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 look what I did, ha, ha." Those three boys, don't do that to 10-year-olds. They are just don't take competition very well. And they looked at Squeaky Toy and they said, "Oh, this robot thinks he can beat us, huh? Let's go." And they started pedaling even faster. They were pedaling so fast, they weren't seeing anybody. They were driving down the middle of the street and making cars go, "Honk, get out of our way." They were pedaling so hard, they didn't notice anything but how fast they were going. But Squeaky Toy went even faster. And he ran down the street. He got to another corner, and he turned around, and he looked at them, and he just smirked and said, "I'm so fast, ha, 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 ha." And Curtis and Kwame said, "I can't believe it." And they both pedaled as hard as they could, and what? They didn't see each other, and then they smashed. Well, they did smash. They did kind of crash up and smash, and kind of their bikes got kind of broken a little bit. And Squeaky looked, and the two bikes were down, and 3T was over them, trying to help, and Curtis was picking himself up off the ground, and Kwame was rolling on his back, holding his knee, crying and crying and crying. Oh! Squeaky Toy said, "Oh my goodness, what have I done? I've brought harm to a human. I've broken the first law of robotics. What have I done? Here I was thinking I was so cute and funny, and just because I wasn't paying attention, look what's happened!" And he ran back. He ran back to where Kwame was crying, crying and crying and crying. And Squeaky Toy walked up to him. And Kwame looked up at him and said, "Oh my God, your stupid little toy's here again. Oh!" And Squeaky Toy looked down at Kwame, and you know what? His whole knee was red with blood. He could see it. It was under his shorts. down at his knee. He had scraped it totally, and blood was pouring out. It was terrible. And on Kwame's black skin, the blood was like so bright he could see it. He felt really bad for the kid, because he was such a nice kid after all. So Squeaky Toy reached out, and he pointed at Kwame, and he pointed at himself, and he pointed at the knee. And Kwame looked up and said, "Huh?" And he pointed at Kwame, pointed at the knee, pointed at himself, and put his hands out. "Can I help?" Kwame looked at him and said, "What is your stupid toy trying to do?" So 3T said, "Well, you know, I have to tell you, he's pretty handy. Let him see what he's got. So Kwame just nodded, and Squeaky Toy leaned over and looked at his knee. Then he reached into his coveralls, and he pulled out a little foil package that he ripped in half, and inside was a sanitary antiseptic wipe. And he started cleaning up Kwame's knee, cleaned it and cleaned it and cleaned it, until there was no more blood coming out. And he saw there was a scrape and a cut, and it looked really terrible, but he cleaned it all up. Then he folded the antiseptic and put it back in the package and put it in another pocket. Then he reached in his pocket again, and he pulled out a big Band-Aid. Where did that come from? And he took the Band-Aid, and he opened it, and he put it right down on Kwame's knee, and he cooled it down. And then, of all things, he leaned over, and he gave Kwame's knee a kiss. Well, he didn't have to do that, but Mr. Ningyoshi-san didn't quite know how Americans healed things, and he had always seen movies where mothers gave their babies a kiss when they hurt themselves. So he gave him a kiss, and Kwame said, "What? What?" Then he realized he wasn't bleeding, and he realized that his knee didn't hurt that much anymore. And then he realized that he had a bandage on, and he could stand up. And then Squeaky Toy Robot looked at him and bowed like the proper Japanese young man he was. And then he stood up. "Well, that was something. He took care of me. He took care of me." Well, the three boys were standing there, and they were looking at their bikes. Oh, well, Curtis's bike was a little bit messed up. Kwame's bike, the whole front end was bent. He had to have the front end fixed. And 3T was saying, "Oh, my goodness, you wrecked your bikes. I can't believe it." Well, they were unaware and not thinking and not really understanding just where they were. And where were they? They were right in front of the town toy shop. Well, the town toy shop was notorious, because in the town toy shop was the toy shop witch. Oh, the children didn't like her. They didn't like her. They didn't like her. She was tall. She was skinny. She had a nose that looked like it was a hawk's nose or an eagle's nose or maybe even a buzzard's nose. And she would ask questions of the children, and they frightened them. And in her toy shop, she had dozens and dozens and dozens of toys held hostage. Well, that's what 3T and his friends thought. Held hostage. If you wanted to buy a toy in that toy shop, you'd go in and you'd see all the good toys in the back, all the cool toys in the back, all the ones you wanted to buy. But the only toys she was selling would be cheap Chinese knockoffs, which, who wants these, this piece of junk? And they'd say, "Well, can we buy one of the good toys in the back?" And the toy shop witch would say, "No, I have a buyer from New York who's ordered them all. He's coming next week." Well, she'd been saying that for 3 years, since C3T was 7. Nobody ever came, but she kept adding toys in the back, and adding toys. And they couldn't understand it, but the toy shop witch scared the living bejeebers out of every single boy and girl in town. And they looked around, and there she was, standing in the door of her shop, looking at the three boys. And she looked down and said, "Well, well, well, what have we here? Are you boys just dawdling, or do we have an actual accident? Should I call the police?" Well, 3T knew that's the last thing you do anywhere. So he looked up and he said, "Oh, Mrs. Maplethorn, good morning." Well, 3T's dad, Dr. Talltail, had drilled into 3T from the time he was a wee little baby that you be polite to people, especially adults. Even if you don't like them, you be polite. So 3T was polite. He was a polite little kid. He said, "Oh, Mrs. Maplethorn, we had a bike accident, and we crashed, and we're all set now, and we were just going home because we have to fix our bikes." And she looked down and she said, "Well, you can buy new bikes at my toy shop." Well, they couldn't believe it. Of course they could buy new bikes in her toy shop, but they'd be really cheap things from somewhere in like North Korea. They weren't going to buy those bikes. So they said, well, ma'am, I think we can fix them. Curtis's dad is very good, and he's got tools. We can fix these bikes. But the toy shop witch was not paying attention to them anymore because she had spied Squeaky Toy Robot. Wow, what's that? The boys looked up. Huh? She was pointing right at Squeaky Toy. What's that? Is that a doll? Is that a puppet? Is that a toy? Where did that come from? Who got that? Sweetie said, I did, Mrs. Maplethorne. I got that from my father, who came from Japan. It's just from Japan. It's a little toy robot. She looked at it and said, a toy robot? What does it do? Well, it cleans up toys. Oh, what do you mean it cleans up toys? Well, it cleaned up all the toys in my room last night and put them away. Really? And what else does it do? Well, it washes dishes. I've seen it wash dishes. My mother loves it now because it washes all the dishes. She doesn't even have to use a dishwasher. Oh, let me see this little toy. And she moved closer and she bent down and she looked right into Squeaky Toy Robot's face with her long hooked nose and her long chin and her long face. And her hair was kind of like, lady, you could use some conditioner on it. And she looked down at Squeaky Toy and she poked him. Are you a toy? Are you a G.I. Joe? Can you talk? Squeaky Toy just looked at her. And she said, can you talk? Does it do anything else? Just put toys away? And 3T said, well, we haven't had it long enough. We don't know. We just got in last night. And Mrs. Maplethorne said, well, I want to take a look at this. How do I know this is yours? This might have been stolen. I'm going to call the police. Come, little toy, you're coming with me. And she grabbed Squeaky Toy Robot and started to pull him into the toy shop. Well, 3T was like, what? What? No, you can't have my toy. You can't have my toy. And he said, stop, Mrs. Maplethorne. Mrs. Maplethorne looked around. Who was this rude little boy telling her what to do? She started walking back towards 3T. And she said, are you talking to me? 3T gulped and said, yes, ma'am. That's my toy. I have to bring him home. Well, I'm going to examine him right now, and I'm going to see what he does. No, ma'am, I can't. You'll have to talk to my father. He brought him to me, and he wouldn't let me have him out of his sight. The toy shop witch looked at him and said, nonsense. I'm taking him with me. At that point, Kwame and Curtis both said, we're getting out of here. And they took off. Well, they didn't take off as in jumped on their bikes and pedaled away. They took off as in running, pushing their bikes, because both their bikes were kind of like dinged and danged. And Curtis, 3T looked up and he said, oh, Curtis, Kwame, get back here. They were gone. He looked at the toy shop witch. She looked at him as though, so, sonny, your friends are gone. Are you going to argue with me? And 3T said, ma'am, I have to get back for lunch. And he jumped on his bike, and he turned around, and he said, Squeaky, come on, let's go. Well, Squeaky had been given a command. He had to listen to his master, or a human anyway. He hadn't quite gotten to master and stuff like that. Any human was a human. But the human said, come with me. So he looked at the toy shop witch, and he bowed very low in a very polite Japanese way. And then he very quickly extricated his arm from her grasp and took off after 3T. And they both flew like the wind all the way back to his house. And gone was any thought of going to the park, anything else like that, because they had confronted the toy shop witch. Oh, well, that's the end of today's chapter, today's story, today's edition. You'll have to go to sleep and listen to another one tomorrow. So, William, my heart, sleep tight. Lauren, little one, sleep beautifully. And Kira, my love, have a wonderful night. And I'll tell you the next one tomorrow. Sweet dreams.